Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the inaugural broadcast of The Stars Align, Dallas Cowboys Sports Talk Radio from two of probably the biggest Dallas Cowboys fans, at least that I know. But, you know, it's one of those things where you like them, you hate them. Either way, we're going to give you the facts, we're going to give you our opinions. And we are going to tell you everything you need to know about the Dallas Cowboys. And as you hear there, was the audio from Green Bay. Doug Flum. And, of course, no show is going to be their first show without some sort of glitches. I don't know if, Dustin, you heard that or not. What I was playing was a clip of the play-by-play catch as called on Fox by Troy Aikman and everyone's favorite Joe Buck. It was the, quote-unquote, catch. The whole point in that was to pick up where we left off. Where do we leave off? In Lambeau Field with the, quote-unquote, catch. And that sort of leads us to what have you done for me lately? The NFL draft is what we've done for me lately. So, again, I'm Chris McSwiggin. This is Dustin Bourque. We are going to start this thing up right meow. Ladies and gentlemen, Dustin Bourque. So, Dustin, what did you feel about the NFL draft? I mean, do you think that the Dallas Cowboys did what they needed to do in order to make them arguably the favorite, not only in the division, but perhaps in the NFC, to possibly be like a Super Bowl contender this season?
Tell you what, Chris, I'm excited. I know a lot of people were, you know, hoping for a running back, hoping for a trade up, you know, to snag one of the big name running backs in the draft. And to be honest with you, I don't know. I wasn't feeling it. You know, the way that the league is going now, it's just so, you know, wide open, and it's turning into arena ball. And I don't know if the league's going to evolve back to the point where running backs, you know, dominate the league. But right now I see you need a quarterback, you need a dynamic wide receiver, possibly a shutdown corner. And, I mean, with the best O-line in football, that's what everybody's saying anyways, you know, I feel like we're a step ahead of the game. And, yeah, we lost the leading rusher to Philly, but in my mind, he's damaged goods. I mean, he ran for, I believe it was a record amount of carries. It was up somewhere ridiculous, some number. I thought it was like 400. And there's like a statistic that was put out that said, what was it?
It was 429 carries last season.
So 429 carries now. Yeah, they put up a statistic that basically said that any running back that hits that 400 carry mark pretty much kisses, you know, his following year goodbye, because he's going to go down to some kind of knee injury or something. And I didn't have a good feeling in my stomach about it. I didn't want to pay him big bucks. So when I saw that our rival, the Eagles, were willing to flip the coin no matter what. So I'd rather them take the gamble, so that way when he tears his ACL up, he's on their books hurting Philly for the next 4 years and not messing with us. So I was pumped, you know what I mean? We took the kid Jones. He's a freak athlete. I was stoked. Like I said, I mean, I know everybody wanted a running back for us, but, I mean, and we've talked about this multiple times. You could have gone in so many different directions. Our defense, even though they completely played, you know, way over their potential last year, if we didn't upgrade our defense through the draft, I felt like that would have been a complete missed opportunity.
Well, the way I look at it is, yeah, the defense, they played up to their potential or over their potential per se, but in a way, though, the defense, to me, wasn't overly impressive. It was different this past season, and different for this reason. We had an offense for the first time since I can remember that
you know, we would run the ball, take the pressure off of Tony. We'd run, you know, 2-3 times in a row and then throw it. And we had so many weapons on the offensive side of the ball that, you know, we would get leads, sometimes big leads, before we even needed anything from our defense. Whereas, I mean, if you look at the names on the roster, this is the exact same defense from a year ago, other than maybe one or two names. It's the exact same defense that led up, what was it, 40 first downs against the Saints and 600 yards in offense or whatever that was. And, you know, the only thing is our defense got bailed out by our offense, I feel. And for DeMarco, I mean, I've covered this a lot, you know, at the ESPN station, and I've covered this a lot, you know, at work in my daily job, but it's not, to me, when DeMarco left, everybody I know is a Cowboys fan. Oh, my God, you know, he left. He went to a division rival. It's, you know, we're done. Our season's through. And it's not necessarily that. I mean, to me, DeMarco had one productive season, one out of four, and he still had fumble issues. And, I mean, to me, he wasn't touched until he got to the linebackers a lot of times. And the thing I liked about DeMarco was he would lower the shoulder and run into somebody. But, you know, I feel that if you have a running back who's similar in style, which Ryan Williams, who a lot of people don't know about, he was a practice squad player last year, similar running style to DeMarco, he can do that. Plus, you bring in now the transition back in McFadden, as well as Dunbar and Randall. I mean, I'm not too worried about it. I wanted a running back. I was one of those ones who was like, oh, my God, why aren't we taking a running back? I was pulling my hair out on draft day. But now I look back at it, and like you said, Byron Jones, athletic freak. You know, Randy Gregory was a steal. I mean, complete steal. You know, I liked a lot of our other guys, too. Damian Wilson's, I think, going to be good. Our later round picks, not so much. We didn't need to take as many linebackers, but I feel like the way we can lose the game is if you look at our first five opponents. I mean, you look at, you got the D-line and the Giants week one, Philly week two, and even though Philly doesn't have a viable quarterback, they're still dangerous. You got Atlanta week three, you know, I mean, you got I don't know if Tom Brady is going to play or not, but you've got the Patriots in week five, I mean, and the Saints in week four. So, I mean, we've got some high-powered quarterbacks getting part of our schedule. We need coverage. We need to be able to stop against the pass. And, you know, if we can do that, I think we can beat anybody in this league, quite frankly.
I'm right there with you. You know, every year, I got a buddy of mine who's diehard New England Patriots, and every year, well, when you grow up in New England, I'm the outcast, not him. So every year I get, you know, torn apart because I'm walking around, you know, in a Romo jersey or, what, you know, the old Roy William, the Hitman jersey. And, you know, people are just, you know, 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, and I'm standing tough, you know, and even I think we even sprinkled in like a 7-9 season in there somewhere, just to mix it up. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I just feel like the whole America's team thing was fading. You know, it was really, 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 really up there in the 90s when we were dominating, just like any time, any decade. Well, one team is dominant, you're basically America's team for that decade because you're going to be the most popular, you're going to sell the most jerseys, you're going to be the most televised. But I felt overall that, you know, the whole America's team thing was fading, and I felt like we needed to do something. We needed to come up. You know, I felt so bad for Romo because I think he's such a great quarterback and just a great player. He's such a great example for kids. See him out, you know, hitting his wife in public, getting arrested. You know, you don't see that very often,
except for a select few, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But this one's saying, you'll never see a Tony Romo in a negative spotlight, I don't think. And for being the most important position, the most glorified position of the league, I mean, look at right now. I thought Tom Brady was, you know, was never going to be touched. I thought he was impeccable, and he couldn't say the wrong thing, even if somebody gave him a script and said, read this. He was a robot. He did exactly what Belichick said, and look, he's in trouble, you know? So it's just one of those things where, you know, right now I can sit back and I can breathe, you know, easy knowing that I got a quarterback who's good right now and, you know, he isn't, you know, being, you know, looked at for, you know, cheating in any way. And anything like that. So I'm sitting here, and like I said, we're just in a slump of mediocrity, and you know, finally.
Well, I'm glad you can breathe easy, because I still kind of can't. To me, you know, being a Cowboys fan, same thing with you with New England. I mean, I live in upstate New York. All of my friends are Giants fans or Jets fans, but we don't count the Jets fans. They're all Giants fans, and I get the same amount of crap, especially when it comes to, you know, the Eli thing, and people are like, well, how many rings does Tony have? Oh, we got 2 rings in the last, you know, 8 seasons or whatever it is. And, you know, people are always going to put sort of that pedestal that Romo has to get to. But to me, it's not that to me. I look at the Dallas Cowboys team, and I see a team that can beat anybody in the league. I see a team that goes in and dominates Seattle in Seattle, giving Seattle their first home loss since they've been relevant, last season. And then a team that can completely, you know, drop the ball and lay an egg like they did against Washington, and you know, in the game when Romo got hurt. So it's one of those things where this team can either be completely dominant or they can be completely flat. And being a Cowboy fan, I don't expect anything. I don't have expectations for this team. I don't have expectations for greatness and visions of grandeur, because if I do, I'm going to get let down. For the last couple of seasons, have taken the approach of not expecting much, expecting 8-8, and being pleasantly surprised. And I feel like that has helped me a little bit mentally. It's made me have less gray hairs at 26, because if I come in thinking we're going to go 12-4, we're going to go 13-3, and you know, it gets to a point where every single game that they lose, I'm in front of the TV basically tearing up. So it's to me an obsession, the Dallas Cowboys are, but it's also one of those things where, to me, it's a love-hate relationship, because they have constantly let me down, except for last season, but they've constantly been better than their record showed. Romo's played better than the flack that he gets, but to me, it's one of those things where the Dallas Cowboys needed to address in the draft secondary, because we couldn't stop anybody the last couple seasons. We did that. We needed to address our defense, because our offense, to me, is stacked. I mean, I don't know if you see the same thing, but the offense doesn't need any help. It was defense. We did that. We just signed Danny McCray again, special teams ace. He's going to help out a little bit. So, you know, optimistic? Sure. But am I expecting another 12-4 season? Can't say that I am. I'm hoping for is a repeat performance, but I can't say right now that I expect anything from this team.
Well, think about it like this, right? So it's a lot easier for someone to expect 8-8 when all they've seen the last 5 years is 8-8. So what happens is you know what I mean? You can only see, you know, what's right in front of you as far as the results, you know, go. So if we're going 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, where, you know, obviously you're just, you know, you're getting the crap kicked out of you mentally and emotionally, and you're just like, whatever, man, I'll be lucky if they make the playoff. So my whole thing is, remember the 13-3 season with my buddy T.O. and, you know, all the old school and Marion Barber?
Oh, where Patrick Creighton just decided not to catch a wide open ball?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yes, Patrick Creighton is one guy I'll never forget. But so 13-3, following year, you got Bayless, you got, you know, everybody at ESPN, they're going to the Super Bowl, because that's what happens, right? You have one little taste of success, you realize that potential that they did have, and then everybody goes nuts, you know? Because people have said for the last decade that the Dallas Cowboys, top to bottom on paper, are a Super Bowl team. Because how do you get any better than, you know, at the time, T.O. was a top 5 wide receiver. I don't care what anybody says. He was producing. Now, what is he, you know, was he the greatest in the locker
room? But he produced
room?
In
you
Philly.
Know, but
he produced in Philly, and he produced in San Francisco. That wasn't a surprise to anybody. I mean, everybody knew
right,
he was elite coming in.
Right. So this is the thing, right? We had a beast at running back. I think it was the original beast mode, Marion Barber. He was the original, I mean, just truck it, that type of, like, freak power. Like, he loved contact. And then you got Romo, who is just gunslinging, just throw it up, you know, give the receivers the opportunity. You had Witten. We had a, you want to talk about a big offensive line, we had a big offensive line. And, you know, we had a few pieces. Terrence Newman at corner was producing at the time. You still had, you know, some help in the, you know, in the linebacker corps. But like I said, you have one good season, 13-3, and you look at, all right, you got to make the Super Bowl now. And they kept failing because they had these huge expectations. So now, what do? Right? We come out of nowhere. Our offensive line produces like no other. And then DeMarco Murray is just crazy. We're running the ball, like you said earlier. We're minimizing the opportunities that Romo has to just huck the ball down the field and see what happens. Those 50-50 balls that 9 times out of 10 end up being interceptions, fortunately. But yes, we're minimizing that. And you said it. We're not letting the opponents touch the ball as much. And teams were going nuts over that. And look what happened. We had a 12-4 season with just a change of the game plan. Let's not throw it 50 times a game. Let's try to, you know, actually be a balanced offense. And it actually, it worked. My whole thing is we went 12-4. You know, the schedule doesn't look too hard, but it's certainly not the easiest schedule. I mean, anytime you play in the AFC East, you know you're going to get the Patriots, which is going to be a pain in the butt. Now, listen, I wanted to get this off my chest right away.
The beginning
Tom
of the
Brady or no
it.
Tom Brady, that's going to be a tough game. I don't care if Garoppolo's back there. I don't care if you call Bledsoe up and tell him to play a game. Those Patriots are going to be a tough game, period. So I just
I'd rather play Garoppolo than a PO Tom Brady, though, because you know Brady's going to come out with a vengeance.
But I'll tell you what, though.
Oh, by the way,
what I don't want is to play the Patriots without Brady and win and have that be our win against the Super Bowl champs. I don't want to beat a team when half the team's gone or when your most important player is serving a ridiculous suspension. I don't want that. I want to beat every team when they got all their guys, so there's no excuses. I would have never wanted to play the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game if I had known that Thomas was going to be hurt with a shoulder and Sherman was going to be hobbled. I can't do that because then that just gives them that excuse. Oh, you guys won when we're 50%. I don't want to hear it. I want everybody to be healthy on our side, everybody healthy on their side, so I know I won that matchup.
See, to me, a W is a W. I mean, to me, you know, to me, I will take a W, especially with the way that this team has been. I don't care who they play. I mean, when we played the Cardinals last season, when we had Brandon Weed, we had Romo out, that's sort of the same thing for Cardinals fans. Oh, we beat Cowboys, and they were this and that. Well, yeah, you beat Brandon Weed. You know, you didn't beat Tony Romo, who I feel with the game that was as close as it was, we would have won that game had he been in, because the Cardinals really
didn't look
really impressive. But we just did have a caller. It was a 612 area code, which I just looked it up is Minnesota, so I don't even know who that would be. But maybe it was a mistake. Maybe not. But if you are still listening and you do want to call in and comment, feel free to do that. Again, this is the inaugural show. We kind of, you know, weren't quite sure the direction we were going to go with this, but it is good to talk a little bit over the airwaves instead of, you know, talking just via social media and messages back and forth and things. 41 minutes left to go here in the inaugural broadcast. Normally we're going to do maybe 2 hours, depending on the content. We get a little bit more training camp going on. We get, you know, into the season a little bit. We are going to be doing a wrap-up of every show, or every game, rather, with a show. I do apologize. We were supposed to do a draft, live draft. I was working. You had stuff going on. So, again, I apologize for that. I am going to play that audio that I that got messed up in the beginning, but we will get there. First, though, I do want to say that, you know, you mentioned the draft. You were stoked about the draft, and so am I. I'm stoked more so to see what Jones can do, because that was the thing. And you mentioned the defense played over expectations. They played over this and that. To me, the defense, like I said, was not – it was the same defense. The only thing was that they weren't on the field, you know, 100 plays a game. They, you know, we sort of had long, sustained drives, got the defense some rest. But the one problem to us, and this is why I'm so excited, and this transitioned into our next topic, I'm so excited because you can have a questionable secondary as long as you have a pass rush. Because if you get that quarterback nervous and making decisions that he does not want to make and throwing the ball too early, then you know, it gives your coverage guys some help. And that's why we mentioned Greg Hardy, who's in. Now, we may not have him until Thanksgiving. Who knows? The appeal process is long and arduous. But we will have Hardy. We are going to have Randy Gregory, as well as an up-and-coming DeMarcus Lawrence. I feel like our pass rush, with Hardy or without Hardy, is going to give this Dallas team an edge. It's going to give this Dallas team what they had in the 90s when they were the quote-unquote dynasty. Because our dynasty wasn't just an offense. It wasn't just Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman and Jay Novacek and those guys. It was a dominating defense as well. And a lot of guys don't look at that defense other than guys like, you know, Deion Sanders, for instance, the big-time star. They don't look at a lot of those guys in the defense and say, well, oh, well, you know, let's talk about them. Everyone wants to talk about the offense. I think that defense in this league wins championships. Offense is what sells the tickets and keeps people buying the NFL packages every Sunday. It's the offense that provides you that wow moment. But it's the defense, especially in a league that, like you mentioned, you said it so well earlier, arena ball, in an offense that is pass-heavy and highlight-heavy, defense is going to win games. And Greg Hardy is a big, nasty man, and he is going to bring that swagger that Dallas has not had on defense back. And under Rod Marinelli, I feel like he is absolutely going to just dominate whenever he plays, whether it's 10 games in, 3 games in, whatever the suspension may be. When Hardy, he's the type of guy who, when he comes in, he is going to absolutely just torch people out there, I think.
I agree with you.
But I also feel like... Well, I'll let you know what?
No, what I was going to say is that I 100% agree with you. As far as last season, I think the coach did something. Like I said, he had these guys in out-of-body experiences. These guys were playing so above their potential, it was ridiculous. Because you said it, the roster didn't even change. It's not like they added a Pro Bowler like they're doing this year. They had a bunch of average, you know, guys. To be honest with you, they're no names. You and I know who they are. But if I ask somebody out here, you know, do you know who Barry Church is? No one's going to know who that is. And that's a defensive capo. So that's what I'm saying. I think Marinelli is just he's doing major things for this team, and I agree with you. Hardy is nasty and on and off the football field, as people know. And you know the whole appeal thing. That's what I want to know. Why the heck? What's taking so long? You know what I mean? They're saying this whole Brady appeal is going to be over in a week. I feel like the appeal for Hardy's been a month now, but. Anyways, my thing is I've been so sick and tired. Yeah, that's true. So the thing that I'm, like, the most sick of is watching Tony Romo get broken in half and then seeing these slobs get up and start doing their touch, you know, their little, you know, I'm pumped, I just killed somebody dance. I'm so sick and tired that our best pass rusher for the last near decade, DeMarcus Ware, would knock a guy down like Eli Manning, and then he'd put his hand out and help him back up. Yeah, it's good for the kids, and it's good for Pop Warner, but, you know, we used to be called the doomsday defense. People were afraid to play against us. People love playing against us now because they know it's going to be a high-scoring game, and I don't want that. We need somebody nasty back there that's going to make that quarterback look over his shoulder and be wondering what's going on and start getting the twinkle toes going.
They need your foot strips.
Yep.
Well, I just hope he doesn't kill any of the cheerleaders. We do have a caller on the line right now, 612 number caller.
Yep.
Who are you? Introduce yourself.
Well, here's the thing with my Cowboys. Okay, I've been talking about my podcast for years. My name is Kobe. What's your name, sir?
Okay, Chris.
Kobe Christmas. Can we move on now? All right. I've been talking about this. Okay, I know. It doesn't matter who I am. I've been podcasting BTR for, I don't know, probably about a six pack of years, and I follow my I cheer for that star. I cheer for the headdress of my Blackhawks, but I've complained about my Cowboys' mediocrity, masturbating mediocrity, since Troy Aikman left, Bubba, as I call him. Okay, and I remember when New England let go Wilfork. I would have loved to see him come to the Cowboys because that's what we need.
That's a great point.
If you look in the playoffs. The one-legged man couldn't run, but did we touch him? No. And I mean, we have a very pedestrian defense, which can be good, But here's what frustrated me in the draft. I don't mind the corner, and I can't remember his name. I'm in my car driving, so I don't have anything in front of me.
That's fine.
Was
no problem.
That they wanted, but I've disappointed the gentleman from USC that dropped to New England, okay? I wanted him really bad. I was doing my Google Hangout, my live podcast. We were doing that, and I saw when they took the corner, the Cowboys did. I was like, come on. Then he drops down to New England, and then they went after a couple. We got the pot smoker, and I get that, but we need some big, fat tub of goo. And then, you know, we got the white beater, which irritated me. I call it the National Fountain League, but I cheer for the Shield, and I understand. I don't play fantasy football because I live with my mother, okay? I talk about all the teams, and I follow my Cowboys. But I proposed this question on my podcast, and I want to propose it to you guys, because I predict we're going to go to the Super Bowl this year against New England with or without Brady. That was my prediction for the 50th. Okay. But I want to ask you guys a question. I follow the Cowboys. I'm 53 years old since I was 10. I live in the great state of Minnesota. I have loyalties. We've been facing mediocrity since last time we won, all right? The 5-11 seasons got old. Last year was a surprise. But what do you think I'm going to see as a Cowboy fan? Jerry Jones' obituary or Super Bowl ring? What do you think I see first? His obituary or championship? What do you think I see first?
I think personally what you see first, had you asked me this question 3 years ago, I would say probably his obituary. But I would say now, the way that we're trending, the way that we're going, and as dominant and as in tune with themselves and each other as we did last season, I think you will see a championship before you see Jerry Jones' obituary.
I hope so.
He's going to die in office. He's not going to relinquish the reins of that team before he dies anyway. So,
he is the
immortal
of my show up on the hill. I don't hate Tony Romo. I don't use the word hatred in my podcast. Like, I don't use it because he hates it and want to kill it. That's why they're fighting overseas. Nancy Boy, as I call him, is growing on me. I do like him because he respects the Shield. He respects the Star, okay? And he's a good citizen, and I like that. You know, look at Michael Vick. He killed dogs, but made money, all right? But with that Hardy signing, I get it, but and Adrian Peterson would have been a triple play, a murderer, a beater, and a kid beater. But we need somebody that's going to come in that trenches. Your secondary is only as good as the trenches, all right? It starts in the trenches, coming and going. I mean, that's where you win with the good offensive line. Look at the O-line now. We stole the guy, Collins. I mean, and then we went after a couple of that tight end at the end. Who in the hell was he? I mean, that guy was
Jeffrey
nobody. But
he's a special,
I want
a special
all,
team. That's
I want,
what we'll be signing for.
Yeah, I agree. But I want – we can get those later. We need defense. We need big, fat tub of goose here.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree that we need a defensive tackle. I do agree with that. That was the one pick. And Malcolm Brown's the guy you were talking about from Texas who dropped to New England.
Yep.
And he's from Texas. He's from Texas. He went to school at Texas. But I feel like we do have some options. I mean, we have some guys who fly under the radar who actually produced last year. I mean, we have Hayden.
Right.
Nick Hayden produced well. We have Jeremy Mincy, who's sort of a hybrid D-tackle, D-end, but he played very well coming over from Jacksonville. And, you know, we have this other guy, and for some reason I cannot – I got my computer here in front of me, but his name is escaping me, but I will get it here in a minute. But Whaley, I believe his name is, just got healthy again. He's supposed to have all these accolades and things. So who knows?
Right.
Quite frankly, I would have rather, to me, addressed what has been the biggest need to us. And what has everybody been griping about? What has everybody been saying? Well, Dallas needs this. It's been secondary. I mean, our pass rush hasn't been great. We've had, I think, bottom five in sacks the last three seasons, but since DeMarcus left. But we cannot cover our own pillow. That's been our problem.
Right.
And now, for us to finally have Brandon Carr, who's a sieve, but to have Orlando Scandrick can cover in the slot. Now we've got this athletic freak who can play safety as well. So if Carr somehow gets his crap together and decides he wants to actually play football, we can drop this kid back to safety with Church. Now we're not quite as worried about those guys dropping back. If we have a couple of extra seconds to get to the quarterback with pass rush. We don't have to always get to him within the first 30 seconds now, because the last couple of seasons, whoever the quarterback is, I mean, we've seen Rex Grossman torture the past couple of years. It seems like if the quarterback is able to let go of the football, it's going to be big yardage, and it's going to be a touchdown or a first down or whatever.
Right.
No, I don't necessarily feel that that's the case. Yes, of course.
So I like what the caller's talking about as far as we need a big body in the middle. I just want to know, what do you think in this new age hybrid offense, like NFL, where every quarterback seems to be running like a 4.4 40? I don't know if that big fat guy is going to matter as much as a defensive athletic freak in secondary, because that fat guy might just be standing where he started, because the quarterback might be doing a read option, he might be scrambling out of the pocket, you know what I mean?
Here's what the big fat guy does, like Wilfork, is two guys to handle him. That's why Wilfork going to Houston titties now. They're going to have, hopefully, the idiot from last year will step up and J.J. Watts. That's why I think they win the South, okay? Because the Cracker Jacks, or RoboCop, as I call them, isn't going to make it easy. But when you have somebody like Wilfork, they take up two people. Meanwhile, defensive ends can get after guys. You got to make them. You got to get after them. You can't. I mean, it's just like I know off track here, but I'm disappointed we didn't get AJ McCarron last year, or we didn't get Hudley this year, or the gentleman from Baylor. Because I mean, Tony Romo's going to retire sooner or later. Emmitt Smith got traded. Bubba, Troy Aikman went down the road. My beloved Troy Aikman. People do retire, and we have to sooner or later. It's just like my Blackhawks. When the old man died, the kid came in and brought Bowman in. I have two rings, maybe going for a third since he died. But we do need the always. It's like, you know, in retirement. I mean, thought about retirement when I was in my 20s. I'm 53 years old. I'm living comfortably. I mean, Jerry has to think sooner or later, Tony Romo's one hit away from going back to Wisconsin and living on a cheese farm, all right?
That's why I wanted us to snag Bryce Petty this year, and I don't know if anybody even thought about that. But that's a huge pickup for the Jets.
He's one hit away. I mean, that backbone is not funny. I mean, I like – he's, but just like K-Man out in 49 and Fortune Cookies, K-Man, all right?
Yeah.
He could be the best quarterback in the National Football League if he'd learn to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Watch old Troy Aikman videos back in the old days. He'd go 1, 2, 3, 4. Who was the fifth? It was Emmitt coming out of the back, and that's what I like. I think the Eagles again. I'm driving. Remember, I think we'll fail because they have no offensive line. I think it'll be just fine from the Radicals. I think it'll be just fine with their offensive line. Emmitt ran like a bench because why? He had a great offensive line, and Moose was a battering ram. And Emmitt was only as good as offensive line. Moose!
Well, Cody, you actually bring up a very good point. You actually seamlessly, not even knowing who we were beforehand, actually maybe without knowing it, seamlessly transitioned into what our third topic was. And we do only have 20 minutes left here, but which was the running game and the O-line. And
You can do a three-hour show into overtime. You have another hour of podcasting, and make sure you open up your chat room so you can, if people come in the chat room. So go to your switchboard, open your chat room so people can see you. Okay, open up your chat room. Go ahead, open that up.
Well, yeah,
so the people can see you.
I've got it open. I've got mine open right now. Here's the thing. This is our inaugural show. We actually kind of today we're like, hey, what time do you want to do it? And he's like 4:30. And I'm like, oh, gee. So I scrambled to put it together. But we are going to be doing this every single week. And I will make sure you know the day. I work in radio. He works in the service industry. We both talk to people. We both know a lot about this. So this is definitely something we are committed to. And living in upstate New York, I don't know if you get this a lot in Minnesota, but living in upstate New York and working in radio, my station covers the Giants. And all I hear about is Big Blue. Now, to me, Big Blue is us. But all I hear about is Big Blue, Big Blue, Big Blue. For me, you mentioned offensive line. Dustin and I joke around a lot because we knew each other when we both lived in New Hampshire up there. And we talk
Hampton
about
Beach,
all the time
that.
And joke. We both sort of joke around on Facebook about, well, hell, I could run behind this offensive line.
And right. I, you know, everyone's like, oh, my God, Murray's gone, and they're dropping tears, and saying, I can't believe he would go to the Eagles of all teams and blah, blah, blah. But like we mentioned, I don't know how much of the show you were listening to, but like we mentioned, he wouldn't be touched until he got to the linebackers.
Correct.
If you give a guy with 4.3 speed, like Darren McFadden, the space get to the linebackers, he could be gone every play. Yep. So, I mean, you know,
I didn't like about him. He fumbled the ball too much. He did in the playoffs. That game, he had a full run. Fumbled the ball. I think Murray will probably last. I think he'll probably play 7 games. I don't hate the guy. He went because of the money. He didn't care about the star or the laundry basket.
$42 million, how I'd go, too.
$42 million. I got to chime in on this one, because this is what upsets me the most about that decision, is that Jacksonville was going to pay him $10 million more.
Yep.
That was not about the money. That was a direct shot at Jones for not treating him right. That was a direct shot.
Sure,
he said, instead of going to the AFC, and not seeing you guys ever, I'm gonna wreak havoc on you 2 times a year and make you wish you never got rid of me. And that's
why
he
can, if he can get in the linebackers. They have no offensive line. The idiots out there, the idiots, as I call them, Chubbles out there, thinks he's coaching a college team, having one-legged men out there. I mean, bitch, please. I mean, I get it, but here's the beauty of football. I my podcast, I don't talk fantasy football. You know, and I tell people all the time, I said, listen, it's just football, but I would rather die with one ring instead of $10 million. I mean, Troy Aikman always remembered as a champion. Emmett, I mean, all these people. I get you want money, but I'd rather be holding a championship trophy instead of a Subway sandwich like the human orgasm out there in the foreskin. He's selling Subway, holding sandwiches, and he wants to be on the four-letter effing curse running down a touchdown where, I'm sorry, I want to be able to say, just like Tommy Brady, Shady Brady, the New England Tea Partiers, the deflators, the cheaters out there, he's holding trophies up. You know, and what is the human orgasm have? Absolutely nothing. They only wish we had with Tony Romo, okay? I mean, the idiots, the Vagina Giants will be lucky to win 4 games this year, and the cripple's little brother out there in Vagina Giants will be 4-12, and they'll send the feeble old man down the road. Your thoughts?
And then they're still going to say
exactly what you say.
Oh, they got 2 rings. They got 2 rings.
I know,
but that's what I get. Well, I've had many barroom debates about, well, not barroom, bar in general. I've had many bar debates about this with Giants fans, and the only defense that they have is, well, how many rings does Tony have? Look how many Eli has. He has 2 rings. And I tell people constantly, Eli won those rings because of his defense, because he put Brady on his ass, which he hadn't, Brady's not accustomed to being, because Brady's had the best offensive line of football for a decade.
Yep.
So Brady's not used to being touched. And now you frustrate Brady. You put him on his backside. You take him out of his game, and all of a sudden, things look a little bit easier for the offense on the other side. So I tell people all the time, and Cody, tell me if you agree with this, Dustin. I know that we've talked on this before. You look at the Cowboys' history, all the way from Roger Staubach to guys even before then. You look at the Cowboys' history, and you look at Tony Romo, and if you look at paper. Okay, you print out a resume and you put the big three, Staubach, Aikman, and Romo, side by side on a table. You look at the resumes. If Tony Romo wins one ring, on paper, now I'm not saying he is the best, I'm not making any claims here, don't hold me to anything, but on paper is the best quarterback in Dallas Cowboy history simply because he shattered every record. He shattered Aikman, Staubach, everything. He has yards per season, touchdowns per season. He has, you know, everything. And yet Romo still is, you know, they make those internet meme things and they make all this stuff about interception party and this and that. Romo doesn't get the credit because he has made some boneheaded plays. But here's the thing with Romo. Everybody goes, oh, well, Romo's going to throw picks. He's going to do this. We talk about this offensive line that we've been harping on for the last 20 minutes. Romo has had to run for his life the past 5-6 seasons.
Yep.
He's had to make plays himself. He's had, you know, everyone talks about, oh, you know, those spin moves. He spins out that swim move. He makes all these unorthodox throws because he had to. You look at last season, he just dropped back 5 steps, 3 steps, boom, fire out to, you know, hit Cole Beasley, hit Terrence Williams hit Dez Bryant, you know, DeMarco Murray fade out of the backfield. He's been able to be a lot more comfortable because he's not constantly on the run. And you notice
right.
his interception ratio was a lot, other than game one against San Francisco, was a lot lower last season. And I think that that's what you need to do for an aging quarterback. That's what Denver's failed to do with Peyton.
Yep.
That's what, you know,
yep.
you look at an aging quarterback is not going to be able to physically withhold such a physical league, you know, without a good line. Now, we could have, if you look at Tyrone Smith, who's an absolute man-child,
yep.
then you've got Zach Martin, who I loved. You've got Travis Frederick,
yep.
who's a Pro Bowl center. That guard position there is kind of okay, Mackenzie Bernanou, but nah. And then you've got on the other side Doug Free, who's had injury issues. Now you plug in Lyle Collins in there, whether he plays guard or he replaces Free at tackle. We could very well have, guys, this is a bold statement here, but we could very well have the best offensive line in NFL history.
We do.
And
we do.
Well, you think it's better than the teams in the 90s? It's better than the 90s
teams
right now?
One of the – you can't say the greatest. There's only one Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest. I don't like to use the greatest.
Okay.
One of the greatest. One of the top ten. Yes, we will. I mean, barring injuries, yes. But real quick, I got to go, you guys. But I appreciate you guys taking my call. And I'm on Twitter, Cowpote Radio. I'm also – you Google Cowpote, Cowpote. I have a Google Hangout where you can have your own TV show. I have a Google Hangout, Cowpote 1, on YouTube. So you can go on there. I did my Cowboys show where I did I'm on Spreaker also as well. I simulcast on Spreaker and TalkShoe at the same time. So Cowpote Radio on Twitter, Twitter. Gentlemen, go Dallas Cowboys, go to Super Bowl 50. Bitch, please. And I mean, bitch, please. Good night.
Yeah, listen,
well,
as
he just
far
hung up,
as
but,
good call. He brought up a lot of good points. My thing with the, you know, Tony Romo breaking records thing that I definitely want to address before we get a stop is it's the evolution of the game. I'm number one Tony Romo. I'll wear his jersey every day if I have to. I love the guy. We could talk about that all day. But,
well, I defend him constantly.
You know, you're bound to break records. Dude, think about it like this. Matthew Stafford's probably going to break the, you know, the all-time, you know, yards record. Because the guy throws for 5,000 yards every season. It's the evolution of the game. You know what I mean? You can't put, you know, the 90s football teams that, you know, barely threw, you know, an MVP-worthy game back in the 90s for Aikman was 205th bare minimum what you got to do to be a quarterback today. You know what I mean? So as far as, you know, Tony Romo breaking records, I love him to death. I think, yes, on paper – even in real life, he is way better than people give him credit for. I give him top five in the league. Easy. If he doesn't make top five, I give him really, really – I'll give him six or seven. It just depends on the debate. I'm not a big fan at all of the whole mobile running Russell Wilson new hybrid quarterback because I feel like if you need him to throw for 300 yards every game, a guy like Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick have proven they cannot do that. I want the traditional guy with the big shoulder, but so we'll save that whole Romo chat for the next time. But you know, like
true,
the,
true.
Like
the show will be
you
a little
know,
longer
like,
next time. The
yeah, yeah,
a
yeah.
Longer
it's whatever.
It's
like you
be,
said,
again, this is our inaugural broadcast. But here's the thing, though, and I just have to touch on this. We got 15 minutes left. We don't have commercials. I've never done a radio show without commercials for an hour. Usually, I'm breaking every 20, so it's my voice going kind of dry here, but. It's one of those things with Romo where you look at this division, okay, and you've got the man with no knees, okay, Sam Bradford, who's in Philly. For what God knows why reason, they traded Nick Foles from Philly.
Trade bait.
Which
he was trade bait, but then the trade didn't work out. Mariota was trade bait to go get Mariota. It didn't work out. So you've got the man with no knees. You've got Mark Sanchez as his backup. You know, they've got a great running game. Okay, I understand that. But like Cody said on the call, no offensive line. Then you've got RG3,
really
who's been...
running game, Chris? Think about this.
Well,
do they really
they've got three
right?
of the top backs in the league.
Think about this, right? Who just left? Probably the second-best running back because he had a slip-up of the year. Shady McCoy was the best running back in the league. Well, I mean, I guess you could always say Adrian Peterson, but AP's out. Because of the whole stuff that went down. So Shady McCoy leaves.
and you plug in DeMarco Murray. So it's not like they had a decline or increase. I think they stay the same, dude.
Well, yeah, but you've got your downhill runner in Murray. You've got your shifty back now, which is sort of what McCoy was with Darren Sproles. And then they just went out and got Ryan Matthews from the Chargers sort of as an insurance policy.
Who's made out of glass.
So, well, yeah, basically. But it's, you know, that's an insurance policy. I feel like their claim to fame, because, again, they let guys like Trent Cole go. I mean, they let a lot of their big-time players go in this pursuit to be Oregon of the NFL. So I don't feel the Eagles are much of a threat this season. The only thing that they've got going for them right now is their running game. You know, their defense isn't great. Their offensive line is meh. You know, they got no quarterback. I mean, they got Mark Sanchez, but that's about it. For I don't know why Mark Sanchez decided to have a career day on Thanksgiving last year. I don't know where that came from, but I'm not giving Mark Sanchez more credit than just that one game. But then
you
want to
know why?
Like,
because can I tell you this? Mark Sanchez is the king of coming up big when nobody expects it, and he is the ultimate no pressure player. Just like think about you. I don't want to get too off subject, but you think about the year the Jets beat the Patriots. Nobody gave them a chance, and they were doing their little jet thing, running around with their wings out, talking all kinds of smack. Exactly. When you need him to show up, though, he's dog SHIT. So, but you keep going. The Redskins, dog.
Oh. Well, yeah. Well, you mentioned, and this is sort of, you know, corralling back on the topic now. You mentioned this hybrid quarterback thing that you don't like. The only quarterback in the league right now who has made that hybrid sort of a thing work is Russell Wilson. But, I mean, you look at RG3, and obviously he's been a dumpster fire. His 2012 year was great, rookie of the year. They made the playoffs, the whole shebang. But he hasn't really been great. You know, and then you've got Eli. And so right now, I know Cody said on the call that he thinks the Giants are going to go 4-12. You've still got Mr. Fourth Quarter in Eli Manning, who's pulled some crazy performances out of his backside, performances that I've never thought to see out of him, where he's played like dog crap for three quarters, and all of a sudden, the fourth quarter, he looks like a Hall of Famer. So you've still got him, and you've got OBJ out there on the other side with Victor Cruz coming back. So I think that the Giants, plus they got Pierre Paul, they've got Entrell Roll. I think that this is going to be a Cowboys-Giants division this season. I think that we have the slight edge. We have better offense because they have, one, maybe two weapons. We've got about six on the offensive line, not counting the line. But I think that the Cowboys have the slight edge. But I think that the Eagles have completely buried themselves. I think Chip Kelly, in his sort of quest to be great, brought in Kiko Alonso, but that's it. You know, they overpaid for Murray. So I feel like the Eagles are kind of out of it. The Redskins are still way away from even sniffing the top of this division. And I think that this is the season. I thought last season was the season. I thought last season with the Giants being terrible, the Eagles falling apart at the end of the season, the Redskins being awful, I thought, well, look, we're in a piss-poor division. This is our season. Now we've got some competition. But I do still feel like this is our year. We've got a favorable back end of our schedule. The front end, our first five games,
front
we could go 3-2.
It's definitely,
honestly,
yeah, it's
that's what I'm saying. We could go 3-2 in the first couple games. That's, you know, but this is, I think, our season, because I'm looking at Seattle and what happened with Seattle last season. Can they keep this up? Sure. Seattle is sort of the cream of the crop of the NFC. We went and beat them last season. We have the solution. Dez Bryant made Richard Sherman look silly last season. So we have the solution to beat them. But the one thing I worry about, is having a team sort of come out of nowhere. And, you know, you look at who could be a playoff team this season that we, like the Lions, for instance, last season almost beat us. Probably if it wasn't for a questionable flag pickup, which I'm all for, but a lot of people say questionable, we'd probably lose that game. You know, I'm worried about one of those sleeper teams, those wild card teams, a team like Chicago coming out of nowhere and winning that division, a team like Minnesota coming out of nowhere winning
you
that division.
You want to know where the out of nowhere teams are coming? They're coming out of the South, because that division was literally so bad that I think a 7-9 team won the division. And
yeah,
my whole thing, I mean, Carolina's only going to get better, right? You're only going to give them weapons. And my thing with Carolina,
well, Carolina
is
didn't
Cam.
Do anything,
Cam
they didn't.
Right, right.
They
let me tell you one thing though. They showed up. They did show up in the playoffs for the first half. They played Seattle tough, and then they fell apart. There was like one quarter where just everything went wrong. There was a fumble here, and then all of a sudden it's a 20-point game. But listen, I'm telling you right now, if I had to bet on a sleeper showing up, it's Tampa Bay, and it's not because I like Winston. It's because he's got a giant on each side. He's got Mike Evans. The dude's like 6'4". He's a freak. And then they just drafted another freak who's 6'4", and he's just
Penny
a monster.
From Nebraska.
Exactly.
From Nebraska, so they've
Winston,
also got Vincent Jackson, the old Chargers receiver.
Exactly. So on what planet is Vincent Jackson looked at as like a number two? And you got the kid who shows
maybe
up.
Maybe number three.
Who's the third. Yeah, I know. But if you're going by age, I'll put him down at three. I think ultimately Vincent Jackson's probably still the starter. Just out of out of respect. Maybe he's still showing up on the practice field. But I'm saying if I'm in charge of that team and I'm coaching, B-Jax is my number three. And I'm letting the kid, the new rookie, he's playing that number two spot, and we're letting Mike Evans see what he can do being, you know, the face of the franchise. But my point is Jameis Winston is coming from a program where he has big targets, and now he just walked into a program that has big targets. So it's not going to be culture shock for the kid. Did they win two games last year, Chris? I think they only won two games.
The Bucs were 2-14, yeah.
Yeah, they cannot. In my eyes, they cannot be anything but a sleeper, because they're not going to win two games, dude. They're going to win two before like six games are passed.
They didn't get blown out. The Bucs were in every game, and if you remember, they got screwed against St. Louis in that bad ref call with the time clock snafu. They had a couple of games that were just head scratchers. The Bucs don't get blown out. They're not losing games by 35 points. You know, they could be a sleeper, sure, but I mean, I'm not impressed with the South. I mean, Carolina, they won it at 7-9.
Maybe they'll show up. I'll tell you what, though.
Maybe.
New Orleans,
maybe they will.
They're letting go of Jimmy Graham. I don't see the Saints going anywhere anytime fast.
No, I mean, Atlanta's the best team in that division, but Atlanta's dropped the ball as well. They're the best team in that division, and we play them week three. But, you know, the way I look at it, and I've got our schedule up here, this team has potential. I mean, they go Giants, Eagles, Falcons, Saints, Patriots, then Giants. Okay, then they've got the Seahawks, Eagles, Bucks, and then from there they can win every game. From there, they've got Bucks, Dolphins, Panthers, Redskins, Packers, Jets, Bills, Redskins. The only game in there that's a question mark to me is Green Bay. So you know, you've got Seattle. I think we can beat because we did it last year. You know, the Patriots, I think we win if they don't have Brady. If they have Brady, it's a question mark still for me. I think we beat New Orleans like we did last year. I think we somehow get by Atlanta, even though they've got Matt Ryan, they've got Roddy White back, Julio Jones is healthy. But I think we get by them. I think we go 1-2-3-4-0 going into the Patriots game. Then we got at Giants, then Seahawks. And he goes, then it starts to get muddled up a little bit. The only thing I'm saying right now is it's too early. Just like all those people 2 weeks ago who were saying the Mets were the best team in baseball and you know, basically putting the Mets in the World Series in April, which I thought was asinine. It's the same thing. It's way too early to look at. I want to see some preseason games. I want to see some OTAs, some mini camps.
I
want to
see the Bryant thing shake out. I want to see Dez get paid. Otherwise, that's a cancer.
Well, real quick, we got 6 minutes left, and I am going to play the Dez audio before we get out of here. Not paying Dez, putting Dez with the franchise tag in order to sign Murray. That's why they did it. They tried to sign Murray by giving Dez the franchise tag. Now Murray's gone. Now we have a question mark at running back, at least for the time being, and you've got a P.O. Dez Bryant who's a head case. If they don't work out a contract this season with Dez, does he play half-heartedly? I mean, how does Dez react this season?
I don't think that he has a bone in his body that will play anything less than 100%. But I do think he is one of the most mentally fragile athletes I've ever seen, right up there with LeBron James. And I'm saying, if you don't look at the kid. He needs a curfew. He's got
24-hour guys walking around with him to keep him and get him home before mom and pop show out, you know, figure out that the lights are turned out. He needs someone to keep him in line. And I love him. I think he's a freak. And I think with another breakout season, I'll put him up at number one wide receiver above Megatron. But my thing is, mentally, I just don't know about him. And it scares me to death more than Murray. I said it. You and I have had this talk 6 months ago. I said, you got to pay Dez because Murray, the running back's lifeline is, what, 6 years at best. Wide receiver.
It's three years for running back now.
Right. So, I mean, give me a break, dude. Why the hell are we – why are we focused on paying a guy who's going to play for 3 years if everything works out versus a guy who's going to play 8 to 10 years and could be the best wide receiver in the game? Dumb.
Well, they do it because – I think the only reason they wanted to do it was because for years – everyone said Dallas doesn't run the ball. For years, defensive coordinators were saying, you want to stop the Cowboys? Stop Romo. And basically now, they ran the ball so much, 429 carries for over 2,000 yards, or almost 2,000 yards last season, and it worked. And Dallas says, you know what? We want to go to the Super Bowl. This is working. Our other solution of throw wasn't working. We want this guy to come in and, you know, and play. They were sort of blinded by the fact that they were so successful with this new offensive strategy that's why they went out of their way to say, we have to sign Murray. But now that the dust has settled and the smoke has cleared and I'm over the loss of Murray now, I look at a 28-year-old guy who's fumble-prone, who's injury-prone, who had one productive season out of 4 years, and is a guy who, you know, is going to a team with an offensive line that's bottom 10 in the league. So I'm not worried about Murray. I'm more sort of saying now, okay, pay Dez, give Romo the pay cut he said he was willing to take to keep Murray. Give Romo that pay cut. Cut down Carr's salary because Carr can't cover his own pillow. Cut Carr's salary. Give Romo that pay reduction. Restructure some special teams contracts somewhere and give Dez the money that he wants because I'm scared. My biggest fear right now, my biggest fear other than, you know, a nuclear war is Dez getting the franchise tag this season and saying, you know what, screw you guys, and leaving next season because he doesn't feel appreciated.
Dude, I agree with you 100%. And the last thing I want to touch upon real quick because I know we're running out of time. Our caller said, you know, what do we do, you know, Super Bowl or Jerry Jones dies first? I'm telling you right now, I do think we'll get a Super Bowl before Jerry dies, and it's because of his son. And I think that's what people are forgetting is I think Stevie Jones is kind of taking over a little bit. And just like Jerry was about to pull Johnny Manziel's, you know, draft card out first round, and then Steve's like, hey, let's do offensive line. And, you know, let's try to keep this thing going. It seems like he's talking his dad off the ledge, and I think that's working out for us.
Very true. Those of you who are listening, Cody, we appreciate the call. Those of you who are listening, I've got some messages on Facebook. Thank you so much for that. My name is Chris McSwiggin. That's Dustin Bork. We'll be back same time, same place. Well, I don't know about same time, but we will be back again. And I will post this so you can listen to all Dallas Cowboy talk and chatter as the preseason and regular season goes on. I want to play a little clip for us before we leave. It might be a little loud. I apologize if it doesn't work. But here we go. You ready for this? It still pains me.
Well, Sam Shields is in a great position to make a play, but he's 5'11". He goes up, but he's just not able to contend with the 6'2" Dez Bryant. You see how high he gets to go up and make a play. I haven't seen anybody go up and make plays on ball in the air the way that Dez Bryant has. Wow.
Pay him.
So I am absolutely sorry to say this, but ladies and gentlemen, he caught the football. If you've ever watched a football game in your life, that was a catch. It was not as egregious as Calvin Johnson's no call, but Dez Bryant caught the stars align, which is the name of the show. See what I did there? Yeah, that was cool. If the stars align and the gods come together and everything, you know, Ulysses strikes down his golden reign on the world, Dez Bryant will catch a lot more footballs for the Dallas Cowboys. We'll see you again. Thank you.